Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you here. I'm going to invite you to stay with me, please, in Luke's Gospel in chapter 11. I want you to know the Lord Jesus, he loves the kids. He loves the children. And if you go into the Christian bookstore, you're going to find that here's a picture of the Lord Jesus on one knee, and the children are running to him, and there's some butterflies on a beautiful day. And the caption underneath says, "Suffer the little children to come to me, let the little children come to me." But friends, if you look at the passage from when he said that, he was talking in a house to his apostles about divorce, and to the horror of the apostles, there's a knock on the door. There's these moms. They want this Jewish Messiah to bless their children, and they are going to chase these moms away. And he says, oh no, you let those little ones come to me. You let those little ones come to me. They're very precious and important to him. There'll be time later to talk about divorce, I promise you. Let them come to me. And when those kids this morning were sharing out that verse from the book of Romans, all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, we can just close the meeting right then and there. And I say, it's a score. It's a touchdown. Praise God this morning. Praise God this morning that you're teaching them about his word. And praise God this morning that we can be encouraged and we can be blessed just by the kids. I was encouraged by the kids this morning. I'm encouraged by this candy. There's Hershey's under here. I just want you to know, for every verse I say, I'm going to help myself. So I don't know, you know, just saying. Great to be with you. Great to be with you this morning. Friends, the Bible teaches us in Luke's Gospel chapter 11 about praying, about talking to God. And Jesus had prayed, and that the disciples asked him the question about how should we pray. And this is a very well-known prayer. Some folks will actually call it the Lord's Prayer. The truth is that the Lord never had to say these words. He never had to say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive others who trespass against us." That's a model prayer for us. Beautiful as it is, but it's a model prayer for us. If you want to know what the Lord's Prayer is, you're going to turn over to John's Gospel in chapter 17. You're not going to turn there now, but you're going to find that when the hour had come, he lifts up his eyes towards heaven. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify me, that I might, in fact, glorify you." Praise the Lord. He wants us to have a relationship with the Holy God. God wants to hear from us. And I'm going to be very transparent this morning. I want the talk to be personal to you. But my prayer life, or the time that I'm speaking with God, it's a limited time. It's an area that I need to grow in. I don't know about you. These prayers of mine need to be a little bit more frequent as I have the opportunity to cast my cares upon the Lord. The Bible says that he cares for us. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And so the words of the Lord Jesus are given to us for training and for instruction and for correction and for understanding who this God is. And right after this passage, Jesus talks to them in this parable. And so I want you to follow along in verse 5 as we're continuing. He says to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you, and seek, and you will find, and knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Friends, these are beautiful and important words for each one of us this morning. This parable follows Jesus' teaching on this prayer, on this model prayer, and it highlights the dynamic power of persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Listen, think about your neighborhood at midnight. Now in New Jersey, there's streetlights, you know. So I don't know about the Pennsylvania neighborhoods. I presume there's really not streetlights. I don't know. Think about your neighborhood at midnight. It's quiet. The street is still. The sky is dark. There's no lights on. It's restful. It's the best part of the night, isn't it? Especially if you have young kids. You know, he's just going to rest now. And this unexpected visitor shows up at your door. Somebody is ringing your doorbell. Ding dong. You know how loud that sounds at night, the ding dong? It sounds so loud at night. It's the middle of the night. Who is at the door? The dog barks. The dog is barking loudly. The house is starting to stir. And your spouse says to you, somebody's at the door. You know what? Go see who it is. You know, I don't know how it was for you when your kids were little. In the middle of the night, if something happened in my house, usually my wife, she would just say one word, you. I kind of knew what that meant, you. She's not here. Now, if she was listening to this, I would be in a little bit of trouble. So this is a safe place, right? You. Your spouse says, somebody is at the door. They're not going away. Look, get up and see who it is. See what they want. Now, honestly, dear ones, honestly, middle of the night news is never good news. Right? I mean, I don't know your perspective, but middle of the night news is never good news. And so your light goes on upstairs, and you open the window shade, and you're kind of standing in your bed clothing, and you look out. Bob, is that you, Bob? Yes, John, that's me. Well, Bob, do you know what time it is? Yes, it's midnight. Well, Bob, what do you want? I mean, what is so important that you've got to wake me up at midnight, the whole neighborhood with it? Well, John, I got this friend, you see, and he's arrived, and I had nothing in which to feed him. I'm not prepared for my guest. Now, our culture is a lot different than this. Because in this culture, you really did need to be prepared to be able to show hospitality and feed your guest. I'm not prepared for my guest. Tell me, what would your response be? Listen, Bob, tell your friend to go to bed. He'll have a big breakfast, right? What would your response be? Bob, my kids are tucked in. My doors are locked. I'm kind of asking you to get this hint and just leave. He says, look, I'm not leaving, and I'm not going to go away. Okay, fine. Meet me downstairs by the pantry, and I'll give you, and this is what Jesus says, as much as you need. I'll give you as much as you need. This parable is to teach us the power of persistent praying. Persistent praying. Ask. And it will be given. That's what he says. Seek and you will find. and knock, and the door will be opened. Ask God. We read in other passages, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. That's why. God knows your need. The purpose of your prayer, of my prayer, it's not to inform God of my needs. He doesn't know, really? The purpose of my prayer is not to inform God. The purpose of my prayer is not for God's benefit. It's for my benefit. It's for my benefit. So, friends, let me ask you this. Then why don't we do it? Or why don't we do it more? And for some of you who pray often, daily, praise God for that. Praise God for that. But for those of you who, well, you pray intermittently. You pray and there's long pauses between the communication that you have with your Heavenly Father. I'm not here to beat anybody up, certainly not myself. I'm here to try to understand myself and try to understand this parable and try to understand this holy God that we can come in touch with and ask myself honestly, so why don't we do it, or why don't I do it more? Well, one response would be, well, you know, God is very unapproachable, you know. I have sort of this idea that God is great and powerful. He's sort of like the great and mighty Wizard of Oz, you know. I can't quite go in his presence because it's a lot, and I don't have the energy or the strength to be able to do that. I want you to know, in the Old Testament, you're really not too far off from that. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that once a year, the holiest person that Israel had, who was the high priest, on the day of Yom Kippur, it's the day that the boys and girls are off from school. We're also off for Diwali tomorrow. Just put that out there. The boys and girls are off from school. It's Yom Kippur. Well, what is that? It's the Day of Atonement. Well, what is that? Dear ones, once a year, the high priest of Israel was able to go into the holiest place of all, into the presence of a holy God. And there's this curtain, this gigantic curtain that is hung. He's going to peek behind the curtain. He's going to be wearing these special clothes. Let me ask you, does he sleep well the night before? If you were going to meet God, is that a good thing? Do you know what it says in the Revelation? It says that when the Lord Jesus comes, every nation of the earth is going to mourn when they see him. The high priest is going to go into the holiest place of all. He's going to go in with blood, not his own blood, animal blood. And in this holiest place is the most holy piece of furniture that Israel has. It's a box, a golden box. It's wooden, which speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. And gold, because it speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus. And in the box, called the Ark of the Covenant, in the box is Aaron's rod that buds, because he is our great and faithful high priest. That doesn't bother me. I hope I didn't upset the children. He is our great and faithful high priest. In the box of the Ten Commandments, because he has fulfilled all of the law, every jot and tittle of the law. In the box is a pot of manna, because he is the bread of life. You're going to go into the presence of a holy God. He goes in once a year, and he goes in with animal blood, and he sprinkles his finger in the blood, and he sprinkles it seven times. Now, don't do this nine times. You're going to do this exactly the way God wants it, seven times onto the top of this Ark of the Covenant. So, if somebody were to say, well, God is unapproachable, he's mighty and all-powerful, and it could be a little bit intimidating. Yeah, I understand that. But you know something, in the New Testament, The Apostle Paul teaches us that God is our Father. Not only Father, but actually we read Abba, Father. Do you know what Abba means? It means Daddy. It means Papa. Friends, when you come in the presence of a holy God, He wants the intimacy for your heart to be able to call Him Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Does He know your cares? Does He know your concerns? Does He know your heart? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to unburden yourself before your heavenly Father. That phrase, Father, isn't mentioned in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we can come to God as our heavenly Father. Or maybe you say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to pray today because I'm just too busy. Do you know something? This thing controls a lot of us. It just does. I'm too busy. I'm too busy with all of the social media, and I'm too busy with all of these constant and instant communication. I get about, and you do too, but I would say that I get about 5 emails a day from parents, right? 5 emails a day. They want to know instantly a response to this. If you're going to email, listen, I'll get back to you in a week. In a week? That's just not going to work. We live in this instant world. I'm too busy. I got a billion other things to do. Or, friends, maybe your thought is, well, God, actually, I've got this. Thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus, and thank you for the empty tomb. But you know what? I can take it from here. I can handle it now. All of the issues and all of the concerns, I can handle this now. I can write a check to make some problems go away. I can contact somebody to make some problems go away. I don't really need God for this. Friends, that's another word for pride. That's what pride means. I can do it without God. I can do it without you. So I would just ask you to step back and see how is our world doing without the intervention of a holy God here? He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, right? And the very best minds and the very best ideas. And the answer is going to be an education. And if we can just grab this generation, then maybe we might have a chance. How are we doing with all of these things? Pretty much saying, God, I can do it without you. Now, of those three categories, the third one is probably the one I'm the most vulnerable with. Probably the most vulnerable with. The great lie is I can do it myself. I can handle it. I got myself into this. Here's the good news. I can get myself out of this. And some of the things that we do teach the children is, you know what? The strength comes from within you. If you just can settle your breathing, and if you can just listen to pleasant raindrops in the mountains, and if you can just have the opportunity to practice some form of art or so, then this mindfulness is going to be tranquil enough and it's going to heal you. Friends, I can't fix myself. I need the intervention that God has given. And the song that we sing or that we enjoy singing is, I need thee every hour. Lord, I need you every hour. It's not like, you know what? I'm good for a little bit, and we'll check in a little bit. I need you every hour. I need you when it comes to my kids. Oh, yes, I do. Saying that I got it means a spirit of pride, or saying that I got it means that I'm in control of these things. And you know what? When they were little, you put them to bed. Now they're old, they put you to bed. And that commercial that says, where's your kid? It's 10 o'clock at night. Do you know where they are? No. Quite frankly, I don't know where they are. And that breeds anxiety to me. I don't know where they are. Lord, I need you every hour. I need you when I think about my kids. I need you when I think about the tasks that I've got to do at my job each hour. I need you in my marriage. I need you with some health concerns that I have. I need you every hour. Do you know, spiritual people are people who lean on the Lord and acknowledge that their power is limited. And it's only Him working through us for His good will and for His good pleasure. Lord, I need you every hour. I need the help that only you can provide. And I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for the great rescue mission that you came on so that we can be called the sons and daughters of the living God. See, friends, the cross didn't mean that I have potential. It doesn't mean that. And that somehow God had to just sort of push me over into the end zone. Now, the cross pretty much means that I'm shipwrecked. The cross means that I can't do it by myself. The cross means that I have no hope in and amongst myself. But we praise the Lord this morning. We praise the Lord for the work of the cross. And we praise the Lord that the life that He has, He promises to give to us. The life that I now live, I live in faith, the Bible says, in the Son of God who loved me, the Son of God who gave Himself for me. So in this great parable, Jesus says that we are to come before someone who can, on behalf of someone who cannot. That we are to come to someone who has, on behalf of someone who has not. That we can come to someone who is capable, on behalf of someone who is incapable. So Jesus says, I want you to seek. Today, friends are searching for all kinds of things, right? Friends are searching for happiness and for meaning. Friends are searching for purpose and for relief. We're searching for things that God can give. We're searching for the things that God can give rather than searching for the one who can give them. Searching for the gifts rather than searching for the one who can give them. Friends, in the lovely parable that Jesus told, if I give Bob food in the story, if the friend gives to the friend food in the story, Jesus says this, how much more will your heavenly Father, who does not sleep, how much more who your heavenly Father, who is not moody, who is never irritable, how much more will He give to those who ask Him, to those who seek after Him, to those who knock or call after Him? Now, I'd like to take a look at just two passages of this in action, and one is going to be found in Matthew 15. And so I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to Matthew 15, where we see this woman who is going to provide this persistent request. In Matthew 15, we read of this woman who is not a Jewish woman. She's this Canaanite woman. And in Matthew 15, verse 21, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But He answers her not a word, And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "True, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Friends, this is an example of persistent request. This Canaanite woman, she's not Jewish. This Canaanite woman calls him this title. Friends, nobody has called him this title. Nobody. Son of David? Have mercy, son of David? What is the son of David? The Bible promised that the king would come from David's family, would be a Jewish king. Son of David was something that the Pharisees didn't want blind Bartimaeus to cry out. This Canaanite woman is going to say it? He was right in their midst. What's the very first thing we learn about of the Lord Jesus? In the genealogy of Matthew's gospel, the beginning of it all, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. Those are the first things you learn about him. He's the son of David. He is not a son of David. He is the promised anointed Messiah of Israel. Here's this Jewish woman, this Gentile woman. She comes and she cries this title, "Son of David, I have this need. I have this need. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." He doesn't answer her a word. Now, friends, there's a chance that in your prayer life and in my prayer life, we can pray and maybe we don't know. Is heaven hearing this answer? Does that mean that I stop praying or I shouldn't pray? I'm praying in accordance with God's word. I'm praying that a friend come to trust in Christ. I'm praying that the Lord claim my children for his kingdom. Oh, yes, I am praying that. Certainly, I did pray that a long time. "Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answers her not a word. And notice then this next part. The disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She's crying out after us." Now, come on now. She's not crying out after you. She's crying out after him. There's too many folks who come in and they say that the church isn't meeting my needs. I'm going to shop for a different church, as if the church is supposed to meet your needs. It's not the church. It's the Lord. If the Lord doesn't meet your needs, there's not a church in America that's going to be able to do it. She cries out after us. Oh, no, she doesn't. She's crying out after him. And what does he say? He says, "I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He says, "I'm a Jewish king. You're a Gentile woman." This is the Gospel of Matthew, right? He's right. Look at verse 25. She worships him. And she's not going to call him the son of David here. She's just simply going to say, "Lord, help me. Quite frankly, Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I'm at the end here." That was true when the Lord Jesus talked to his apostles, you know. And there were followers of him that decided that what he was saying was too hard. It wasn't too hard intellectually. They understood what he was saying. They said, "What you're saying is too hard. We can't do it." And so they left him. And Jesus turned to his friends. He said, "Are you going to leave too? And Simon Peter steps forward. He says, Lord, if we left, quite frankly, where would we go? Where would we go? It's you who have the words of everlasting life. Where are we going to go? Lord, help me, she says. And he says to her, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. You might look at that and say, this is a hard thing that he's saying. See, she's persistent. She's not going away. She says, yes, Lord. See, she agrees with him. It's true, Lord. It's not right to take the children's meat and to throw it to the Gentile dogs. You're right, Lord. That's true, Lord. But Lord, even these little dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the table, Lord. They eat the scraps that fall from the table, Lord. Even the Gentile dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, Lord. Friends, based on what this woman has said, look at what his response is in verse 28. Oh, woman, what does he say next? Great is your faith. Who does he say that to? Who does he say that to in all of the accounts of all the encounters? He says it to a centurion, and he says it to this woman. What's her name? I don't know her name. What does she know about the tribe of Ephraim? What does she know about the priesthood of Melchizedek? She knows none of that. He says to her, O woman, great is your faith. See the persistence? See the persistence? Now, honestly, we all have an agenda for our lives. We have an agenda for the family, the chapel family here. And it's very, and oftentimes you say, well, does my agenda collide with what God's agenda is for my life? What's God's desire for my life? And so prayer requests, if you've looked in the past about things that you've prayed about, and those things haven't really come full circle, and now years later, you can look at those things and say, you know, the Lord had his hand in that. The Lord knew all about that. And the Lord didn't open that door, and it was for my good. It was for his kingdom work. That's hard. I know that. I acknowledge that. But how beautiful it is for us to know on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, that we can have the opportunity to come before a holy Lord in persistent prayer. And persistent prayer. You know, growing up, there was a woman at the chapel, and she was in her 40s, and she was diagnosed with this cancer, which took her. The Lord took her, but this cancer which took her. And there was a time that the chapel, we got together, and we had a prayer meeting for her. But then the idea was, you know, we're gonna pray for her every single hour. Could you sign up? Sort of like, you know, sign up in the back. Would you pray for her? Could we get 24 hours in a day? Could we get 24 people that would sign up so that her name could be before the throne of grace? Persistent prayer, friends. It's something I got to grow in. It's something that I got to do a little bit better with. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible teaches us about praying again. These are going to be familiar verses. And notice it says Philippians 4 and verse 6. The verse says, be anxious for nothing. Right, just stop for a minute. Be anxious for nothing? I mean, the verse doesn't say, don't be anxious on Tuesday. It says, be anxious for nothing. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty anxious person. I'm anxious about the country. I'm anxious about my health. I'm anxious about my family. I'm anxious about my job. Be anxious for nothing. That's what it says. Sometimes things that are so simple, they're mountains. They can become mountains for some of us or for me. You know, I don't like to fly. I don't do well with that. Amy and I are going to fly to Germany, or we went to Germany a summer ago. Well, where exactly do you have to fly? Well, you have to fly over the ocean. Well, when exactly does this happen? Well, you fly overnight. I'm not going to sleep a wink in the plane. Everybody else seems to be sleeping. It's the middle of the night. You say to her, listen, we haven't really heard from the pilot in a while. Do you think everything is okay? See how these things lead from one thing to the next? Call the flight attendant. See whether or not the pilot is okay. And just come back to me and let me know that. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, how do you do that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Let your request be known to God. That's what it says. Now, there's corporate requests that we have, and there's private requests that you have. There's personal requests that you have. Requests that maybe nobody else in the room knows about, or maybe just the dearest of friends that you've had the chance to talk to knows about. Let your requests be known to God. If I shared with you some of my requests, you might say, that's de minimis. That request isn't really a request at all. That care isn't much of a care at all. It's a care to me. And if it's a care to me, it's a care to my Heavenly Father, who says that I am to cast all of my cares upon Him. Because He cares about me. He doesn't say that my request is de minimis. Let your request be known to God. Can I ask you this honestly? Do you do that? Do I do that? Or do I scurry around trying to fix it myself? What's the promise that's given? And the peace of God. Friends, the peace of God. Not the peace that comes from the courts. Not the peace that comes from the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It guards your hearts and it guards your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Do you know, after his glorious resurrection, it's the first thing that he said when he appeared to them, peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and will guard your mind in the Lord Jesus. I don't know what you're anxious for today, and I don't know whether or not you've brought that request before the Lord, but I want to challenge you, even right now, I want to challenge you and just take just 1 minute. And I would like all of us to just bow our hearts and privately just give to God that burden that you have and remind Him that His Word tells us that our hearts and our minds are to be guarded by His great peace. And that we can call on Him as a child would call upon his dad, Abba Father. Abba Father, we need you every hour. Could we just pause for a moment? And would you privately just share with the Lord what that request would be? Father in heaven, we bow in your presence with heavy hearts, and we acknowledge how awesome it is to come into your presence, and that we call you Abba, Father. And we think about cares in our lives, cares of people that we love that haven't made a commitment to you yet, cares about people that we love that are dealing with illness. Maybe they're financial cares or work-related cares or just cares, Lord, because here you even said, Lord, that in this world there's going to be trouble and that you've overcome the world, but it's hard here. And your word promises us that we can cast these cares upon you. And your word encourages us to make our requests known to you. And so, Lord, we're doing that now. And we're praying that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds and encourage us even this day. Thank you, Lord, for this parable of persistent prayer. And I pray that I would be more tuned into doing this every day this week, every hour this week, as there's opportunity to just look and to give you thanks. Thank you for being so kind to us. We pray these things in your good name.